Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verses 4 through 20. 1 Samuel 1, 4 through 20. And listen among these words for a word from the Lord. Whenever he sacrificed, Elkanah would give parts of the sacrifice to his wife Peninnah and all of her sons and daughters. But he would give only one part of it to Hannah, though he loved her, because the Lord had kept her from conceiving. And because the Lord had kept Hannah from conceiving, her rival would make fun of her mercilessly, just to bother her. So that is what took place year after year when Hannah went to the Lord's house. Peninnah would make fun of her. And then she would cry and wouldn't eat anything. "Hannah, why are you crying?" her husband Elkanah would say to her. "Why won't you eat? Why are you so sad? Aren't I worth more to you than 10 sons?" One time after eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah got up and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting in the chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Hannah was very upset and could not stop crying as she prayed to the Lord. Then she made this promise: "Lord of the heavenly forces, just look at your servant's pain and remember me. Don't forget your servant. Give her a boy. And then I will give to the Lord for his entire life. No razor shall ever touch his head." As she kept praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was silent. So Eli thought that she was drunk. "How long will you act like a drunk? Sober up," Eli told her. "No, sir," Hannah replied. "I am just a very sad woman. I haven't had anything to drink, but have been pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think that your servant is some good-for-nothing woman. The whole time I've been praying out of my great worry and trouble." Eli responded, "Then go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked from him. Please think well of me, your servant," Hannah said. And then the woman went on her way, ate some food, and wasn't sad any longer. They got up early the next morning, and they worshiped the Lord. And then they went back home to Ramah. Elkanah had relations with his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. And so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, which means, "I asked the Lord for him." This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For a long time, Hannah, Elkanah's wife, could not bear a child. her rivals made fun of her. Whenever Hannah went to the temple, Peninnah, that's Elkanah's other wife, made fun of her. And then she would cry, and she wouldn't even eat. So in his eloquence, Elkanah, her husband, would say, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why are you so sad? Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? Perhaps Elkanah had his head in the sand, or even worse. It's not a good reputation for the men in the story. If that was not enough of a blow to the men in the story, then comes Eli the priest. Sorry, guys. Eli thought that she was drunk and thought that she was blabbering on about that, when actually she was praying to God. Her lips were moving, but her voice was silent. And so Eli thought that she was drunk. But she said, "I have not been pouring drinks. I have been pouring my heart out to the Lord." Hannah's tears. Tears of sadness. Tears of oppression. Tears of powerlessness. Tears for the young. Tears of worthlessness because she had not been able to bear a child. Tears and fears of being afraid because of submitting to those who had power over her. If you contrast that with that power over with a power with, you can understand that those tears and fears could have been turned into cheers and years of growth and growing, where she would say to God in her prayers, "Don't forget your servant, but give her a boy. And if I can bear a boy, I will offer him as a Nazarite in service of God. He will abstain from drinking and avoid corpses and will be consecrated, separated for service to God." Elkanah, her husband, had insulted her. And now the priest Eli had insulted her as well. And she was praying in her heart, in her quietest moments. Her lips moved, but her voice was silent. Eli thought that she was drunk. "No, sir," Hannah replied. "I am just a very sad woman. Don't think that your servant is some good-for-nothing woman. This whole time I have been praying out of my great worry and trouble." Finally, Eli responded. "Then go in peace," he said, "and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him." Then Hannah went on her way and took some food, and she was not sad any longer. And they, Elkanah and Hannah, got up early the next morning and went home to Ramah. Elkanah and Hannah spent some time together overnight, and the Lord remembered her. And in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, which means I asked the Lord for him. In this story of Elkanah and Hannah, we find hope that there is a place for us in the life and in the future of the church, in the life and in the future of the people of God. We tend to think that if we fall by the wayside, that we are fallen permanently. But God's grace lifts us into a time and place where we gather our steam, gather our wits about us, gather what we have left and what is redeemed by God through the faith of our ancestors. And we present it again before God and know that God receives us in God's love and care and lifts us and makes us whole in Christ. Whatever our world may show us, we trust that God holds us in God's grace. And even when the news challenges us, when we don't feel we have answers, we can hold the hope that God is in our future, that God has already constructed our future in ways and in times that we cannot even imagine. That God holds us close and bids us forward into a future that God has for us. Even in times when we think all is dark and hopeless. The news of this week, of this weekend, has not been good. It shows us that the world has its ways of dominating. But ultimately, God will prevail. And God will call us toward a future in which all of us are gifted with the grace of Jesus Christ to have the right thing to say and the right words, to have the right actions that would lead us into the future that is that to which God is calling us. We come to this future. We ask God to lead us and God to make us bow on the pathway that we might find the way forward. Not in hopelessness, but in hope, in confidence that God who has made us in this life will make us again in the world to come, whatever that holds, and will call us into a way of peace and a way of future for the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Amen.